Good morning. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for waking us up. We thank you for giving us life. We thank you that we're allowed to worship freely in this country. We thank you for that song, Father, how inspiring it is to be able to be in a country where we can worship you freely. Thank you for each other. Thank you for the kingdom of God. What an amazing theme for the year. But Father, before it was a theme, it was just what you did. It's just what you set up. And Father, I pray that we can be so inspired to be part of the kingdom of God. I pray that we can be sharing the kingdom of God with everyone we meet. I pray that we can instill the kingdom of God into our children so that they will desire to become part of that kingdom as they grow up, God. Help us to live a life that they can look at and want to imitate. And Father, if we're not there today, if we have some stuff to work on, we need to realize we need to join the rest of humanity because we're all in need of change. I pray, Father, that we will change, that as we see things in our own characters, Father, that we will desire your mercy and your will in our life. Thank you so much for our children. I say a special prayer for them, God, and ask you to always be with them and help us to do everything we can not to hinder their entrance into the kingdom of God. Father, be with us. Help us to continue to be a church who loves you, to be a church who calls the truth truth and lies lies. Help us to be unified, God, no matter who's up here speaking, Father. It is all about your word. And we thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for our elders, God, who are doing a great job leading this church. Thank you for our deacons, Father, for the men and their wives who do so much work for this church. Father, we are the church. It is not the building. Help us, God, to be a church that glorifies you, that's set up on a hill that cannot be hidden. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for this morning. Be with me as I speak your word. Let my words come from you and not from my own will. I pray, Father, that already happened because I already prepared what I'm going to say. And I believe that these are your words. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. Like we talked about, the theme this year is what? Why don't we say it again? The what? There you go. The kingdom of God. You know, there's so much taught about the kingdom of God in the Bible. Amen. The goal this year for our church is really to have a better understanding of what the kingdom of God is, but also what it means for our own lives. Last week, Steve Collier started our teaching series on the kingdom of God. Then Steve Galbraith came up and preached a powerful sermon, amen, about what that kingdom is. It's amazing to be part of the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can I get an amen? Have I ever done that? I don't know. Maybe. There's a phrase that I believe most of us have heard. It's called living the dream. Have you ever heard that phrase? What does that phrase mean to you? Well, what it means to me is, a lot of times when we hear, I'm living the dream, it's my life is going pretty good. I have a house, I have food, I have a car. You know, when we first get married, amen, we just like, we live in the dream. I get to wake up and somebody make me breakfast. And it's not McDonald's, you know? I get to have my partner. Amen, I'm living the dream. Sometimes when we get into a certain profession, or for the college students when they graduate, I'm living the dream. Whatever that is, we see it as a good thing, right? This morning I want to talk about having a dream for the kingdom of God. The name of this sermon is Living the Dream, the Kingdom of God. I have 3 points for you this morning. The first point is pick the right dream. Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. We are living the dream. But you know what? Some of us in this room might be living the wrong dream. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, while we here in the kingdom of God are trying to advance the kingdom of God, there's another kingdom at work, and that's the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of this world is really trying to advance like we are. Sometimes if you look with your worldly eyes, our physical eyes, we can maybe think that the kingdom of this world is advancing stronger than the kingdom of God. How do you feel about that? I don't like that very much. And we were talking to the teens on Thursday, this about their high schools and what does it look like there. And my daughter goes to Brookwood, and I didn't get nothing. And one of our students there said, you know what, Brookwood is going downhill. And this is a senior. You know, she's been there for 4 years. So she's like, I know what it was like before. Now gangs are coming in. There's a lot of craziness just going on. And that's one of the best schools in Gwinnett County. What's going on in the other schools? And not saying that that school's all that. I mean, every school has worldliness in it. Amen? So we can't lift up any of them as being great examples. But shucks, we try to go to the best school district that's available. Sometimes the best school district might be homeschooling. I'm just saying, this might be it, but that's another sermon another day. The kingdom of this world. Paul is teaching us here that we are not to conform to the patterns of this world. What does that look like to you? Well, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. He calls us to continually being transformed in our thinking. In other words, that's not natural. What is natural? For us to conform to those around us, like at your jobs, doing what they tell you to do. I was talking to a brother the other day, and we were in a study with someone, and he was like, I don't care what my job tells me. If they tell me to lie, I'm not going to do it. And they know that. And that kind of gets me out of certain meetings because I let my boss know, if you want me to lie, just know that's not going to happen. So you might want me not to be in that meeting because I'm not going to lie for you. Are you willing to do that? High school students, are you willing to stand up for God while your friends are using his name as a curse? College students, now that you have all this freedom, that your parents aren't telling you everything to do, are you using that free time for God? And then we can go into the marriage, right? Do we just use church as a teaching platform for our children and we're not instilling the scriptures in them on a daily basis? You know, Alan Rouse told me one time that he's really not into organized family devotionals. Maybe when they're younger, but as they get older, we need to be just living that life and talking to them as they go. Amen? That's what we kind of try to do. My kids, when they hear about family devotional, they suddenly get a little sleepy. They suddenly got homework. Oh my gosh, I got homework. Oh, I got to go take a shower. Really? Now you got to go take a shower, huh? What I like to do is sneak it in there on the drive to school. You know, I might be giving my secret away, but bringing my daughter to get her favorite drink, a frappuccino. Yeah, that thing. And I'm like, yeah, let's go get a frappuccino. It's a small investment to be able to have time with her to instill the kingdom of God in her. Are we doing that with our children? It's very important. You know, as I was preparing for this lesson, I asked myself, what does this world want us to dream about? What are the things this world wants us to dream about? And I thought about a dream that I think we've all been taught since we were young. It's called the American dream. Now, before you start throwing stuff at me, I am a citizen of the United States of America. So I am not against America. I'm not, you know, anything else. I just want to preface that before y'all get mad at me. There's nothing wrong with owning stuff. There's nothing wrong with, I'll explain that a little bit. I just don't want y'all mad at me and just not listening anymore. What's the American dream? In my opinion, this is my opinion, at its core, I believe it's about accumulating wealth and comforts. It's about having the things we want and feel we need to achieve both wealth and comfort. And that should equate happiness. How's that working out for you? Well, to drive impressive vehicles, to have a house by a certain time in our lives. Because if we don't have a house by a certain time, we're a failure compared to the Joneses. Who are the Joneses? Can you introduce me to the Joneses, please? If you know who those are, let me talk to them. I want to find out what the standard is. Because as I go around Gwinnett County, there's a lot of different types of houses, right? They could be this million-dollar house right next to something that's really not. In Florida, where we last lived, man, you could have this mansion right next to a, a mobile home. They say, how'd that work out? Because they bought the land and they put what they want on that land. The one in the mobile home, are they as happy as the one in the million-dollar mansion? I don't know. Why don't you go ask them? The American dream. Now, is it wrong to want to own a home, a car, stuff? Well, that depends on how you earn it and what you're going to do with it once you get it. Let me say that again. It depends on how you earn it. And I'm not even talking about illegal gains. I'm talking about, we'll get there. I'm so excited about this message. I want to go forward. When you live in the kingdom of God, your priorities need to be His priorities. When you live in the kingdom of the world, your priorities are a little different, right? Look over in John 15. John 15. If I step on anyone's toes today, I apologize in advance. And I give you permission to come talk to me after the sermon. Just know I am not going to change my opinion and that the Bible says what it says. So if you're mad at me, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Your old heads know about that one, right? All right, John 15, verse 18. It says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. We may live in the world, but we're not supposed to be a part of the world. That's a tricky balance, isn't it? It's kind of challenging to be around people, especially at work, when you see everybody going for promotions or trying to get that bigger TV. Aren't they into like 4D now or 4X or 4 something? It's like we're going to have baseball stars, you know, playing baseball in our living room or something soon. I don't know what they're doing. But the technology as it goes, we need to be the first ones with it. Because we must be the Joneses and everybody's supposed to be following what we do. I don't know about you. I hope you didn't buy one of those 3D TVs. They didn't do so well. Very expensive and they kind of went out very quickly. When we try to go after the things the world does, oftentimes we are left with a sour taste in our mouth. Because it's not cracked up to what it's meant to be. Having a new car is nice, but as you drive it off the lot, it depreciates how much percent? Like 20%. I'd rather get me a used car that's a good car, and it's still nice. That just don't make no sense, but maybe that's not another sermon, maybe it's this one, I don't know. God rescued us from that world and brought us into the kingdom to be different. He rescued us to give us a dream for the kingdom of God, but he wants us to be passionate about that dream. Are you living the kingdom dream out passionately? Look over in 1 John 2. It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The Bible here teaches, and I think all throughout the Bible teaches, to be in the kingdom of God, we need to be like the king himself. Remember, it's the kingdom of God. It is not our kingdom. We are not the kings of this kingdom. God is the king. He's calling us to be transformed into the renewing of our mind on a daily basis to be like him, not a better version even of ourselves. Sometimes we feel, well, you know, I'm not like that anymore or like I used to be. That's great, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be like him. How long is that going to take? Probably a long time, right? It might not be something we achieve, but it's something that God wants us to strive for. In verse 16, we see that the pride of life does not come from God. Again, he says in verse 16, for everything in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. So God just doesn't dislike pride. He hates it. What's at the core of the American dream? Self. Achieving for self. Getting for self. You know, it's not, the American dream isn't the issue. The issue is what are most people willing to give up to achieve that goal? If you're a workaholic, you're probably not studying the Bible with a lot of people. Even probably for yourself. When you're a workaholic, your kids suffer because they don't see you. When you're a workaholic, how's your marriage? And what are you working for? Things that are destroyed. Think about that. God hates pride. And what is that dream called? The American dream. I wonder who invented that one. Some prideful American? I was just talking to a brother this morning, talking about, you know, as Americans, we think that when we think about other countries, we kind of put our nose up to the other countries. When I was first talking with my wife, I was asking her what kind of conditions she lived in. And in my American ignorance, I thought she lived in a straw hut with dirt floors. And she was like, honey, we have cities. We actually have concrete. You know what I mean? And I was like, I'm just an ignorant, arrogant American. I think that the best place in the world is America. I don't think that way anymore. The way I think the best place is the kingdom of God. Amen. And the kingdom of God is anywhere where disciples are at. We make up the kingdom of God. So in order to be living the kingdom, living the dream in the kingdom of God, we must choose it over the American dream. Amen? My second point is to passionately live the dream. I say it again. My second point is to passionately live the dream. You know, the kingdom of God is something that we need to pursue. It is all around us. And people are in pursuit because God put it on their hearts to help us into the kingdom of God. Amen? But are you passionately pursuing it? If you're a disciple this morning, are you living the dream? Are you flat out excited to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Or do you do what you do because you're obligated, because it's for you? It's just a different way to live. When you live passionately, you turn around. You got people following you. When you live passionately, you turn around and people are like, I want to know what you know. You seem pretty excited. I remember the day that I got hired to this church. I was going to my job in Tampa. Richard had called me and said, you know, we want to offer you the position and everything, and you need to start in 2 weeks. I was like, oh, okay, let's go. But I get to work, and I'm calling my friends. I'm calling family. I'm telling everybody. I'm so excited. I run up to my job. Start doing my job. Was there. It was a busy day. Didn't have lunch. Go to leave, and I put in my hand in my pocket looking for my keys, and I couldn't find my keys. So I just started laughing. I said, well, amen. You know, it's all good. And a guy that I had used to study the Bible with said to me, he says, I want to be able to do that. I said, do what? He goes, man, you can't find your keys. I'd be bugging out. I'd be losing my mind. I said, you know what? The same God that's God on the mountain is the same God as God in the valley. I just got hired to be into the full-time ministry. And nothing is going to mess me up today. So he said, I want some of that. I said, yeah, well, you know, I'll be here for 2 more weeks. So I left and I said, man, I can't find my keys. Maybe I dropped them on the way, whatever. And I start walking up to my car and I see my car. And I'm like, that thing looked like it's on. I get to my car and it's running. In my excitement about becoming full-time minister in the kingdom of God, I left my car running all day. In July in Tampa. I was excited. I was passionate. And I almost ruined my car. Thank God it's a Toyota. It helped me out. You know, there are many people that are very passionate about the American dream, right? I read so many quotes, but I took one that I thought made sense. It says, Tommy Hilfiger said, "The road to success is not easy to navigate, but with hard work, drive, and passion, it's possible to achieve the American dream." Nothing wrong with that statement, right? It sounds good. It sounds like, man, we need to adopt that attitude in the kingdom of God. And I agree with that. Just like he said, in the kingdom of God, we need to have hard workers, we need to have drive, and we need to have passion. But when your goals are for worldly things, what are you giving up for it? You know, the Bible says we cannot serve both money and God. Now, am I saying we all need to go into the woods and start communal colonies? No. The Bible says that we are in the world, but not of the world. So it's nothing wrong. If you got a nice house, don't get upset. Don't worry. I ain't saying nothing about your house. If you drive a nice car, amen. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're doing that to the detriment of your family and your relationship with God, there's something huge wrong with that. Even if you're gaining that through hard work, determination, and passion, what will you gain in the long run? Will your children know God? Will those around you know God? Or will they see, man, if there's a deadline to meet, don't worry about Joe. He ain't going nowhere. Yeah, he got church tonight, but he ain't worried about that too much. He's committed here. To me, that sounds like you're serving the kingdom of the world, not the kingdom of God. Now, will there be times when you have to work overtime? Yes. I feel like I got to, you know, kind of clarify some stuff because I don't want y'all walking away. Oh, boy, he said from the pulpit, I can't work overtime when there's church. There's times where stuff will happen. Who will judge you? God, not man. But if you're constantly doing that, you might want to think about your priorities. I'm just saying. Look over in Matthew 6. When you're in the kingdom of God, his priorities need to be your priorities. It doesn't need to be a combination of the world's priorities and his priorities. He has to be number one. Who's the one that could tell that? Well, obviously God. But I think that you know where you stand today. I love what Jesus says here. I mean, he's really just talking about what the people from the kingdom of the world struggle with, what they're worried about. I love being in the kingdom of God. I love serving God because I ain't got to worry about none of this stuff. Check it out. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Yet I tell if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, that other way of living, like pagans, is in direct contrast to the teachings of Jesus. It opposes the teachings of Jesus and our faith in him. How are you living? Are you living with a life of worry? Are you living with a life of concern where these things are going to come from? Or are you living in the kingdom of God where you know that your needs will be provided? There's a difference between your needs and your wants. I need a car. I don't need a Porsche. And I really don't even like a Porsche. I like a Dodge Challenger. So if anybody, you know, bless a brother, it's all good. I'm kidding, sort of. But that's my car, man. A Dodge Challenger. Blacked out, black rims, black edges, black. Black. I wanted to call it the Blackmobile. I mean, anyway. Sorry. Lost my thought for a second there. But see, I got a car that works. It goes from point A to point B. Now, it's not as stylish as that Dodge Challenger, but it gets me to where I need to go. God said he will meet my needs, not necessarily what I want. My kids, hopefully they'll become rich and give me what I want. But, you know, that's just a, well, come on, guys. My hope is in you. Our kingdom dreams need to be centered on the scriptures. I'm going to say it again. Our kingdom dreams need to be centered on the scriptures. The only way to find out what God's dreams are for us is for you to actually crack open your Bible. If your Bible looks brand new, it means it's not being used. Now, if you use one of these, it's okay, but use something. If you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ today, I implore you to open the Bible with someone that's been in the fight for a minute, who can help you get to know what God's dreams for you are. You know, it's inspiring that God actually has a dream for us. Satan also has a dream for us, too. Oh, he got a dream for us, and it's more of a nightmare than a dream. And so many people were in the club last night, you know, shaking their tail feather and doing their thing, and they thought they were living the American dream. They were not. They were not. Now, is it wrong to dance? No. But, you know, there's a place that we've gone to for parties, different singles have had a Coco Cabana or Coco something, whatever. And the disciples would go there, and around 9 o'clock, I think it was, they'd say, all right, everyone in Jesus needs to be out of here soon. Everybody that loves the Lord, we need to go. They coming out in drives, man. They were wearing clothes before. What happened? The waitresses turned to the back, came back looking like they were wearing, I don't know. But I made a declarative statement to the brothers. Brothers, if you love Jesus, we need to leave now. As for me and my wife, we out. Why? Is dancing wrong? No. Well, yeah, depending on how you dance. We don't live in an age where everything is black and white. There's a lot of gray areas. The only thing that is black and white is if you're a disciple or you're not. There's no gray area. He tells us in verse 33 that if we seek his kingdom first, our needs will be met. That sounds like a promise to me. You go tell God, I don't believe you. Come back and tell me how that conversation went. He probably not going to yell at you, but I don't think you're going to hear much of a response. Because just like Jesus, he didn't have to respond when they accused him falsely, right? When God says something, it's going to happen. Do you trust in his provision? When you're in the kingdom of God, you trust it. Excuse me. Let me explain a little bit what I mean about living passionately. Most of y'all know me. And you know, I'm a highly emotional individual. I enjoy wah and woo and living. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about living passionately. It has nothing to do with emotions. You heard? Yes. Nothing to do with emotions. There are men in this congregation that are a lot quieter than I, and I consider them very passionate men. I consider Todd Reynolds one of the most passionate men that I know. And he has his moments where he will, wah, and run around with the teens and all that, but most of the time he's very mild-mannered. You know what I'm saying? He's more Clark Kent. But when it's time to get into business, he becomes Superman very quickly. Why? Because he's very passionate about God. He's passionate about reaching the lost. I don't even have that in my notes. He could pay me later. But it's very true. There's many men like that in this room. Living passionately isn't about living emotionally. We must decide to be passionate about our relationship with God no matter our circumstance. Ooh, that hurts us, don't it? It's like, well, I don't have an excuse to be funky? Nope. So I don't have an excuse to hold back from giving to people? Nope. That's not what that scripture says. Being passionate is about what we have, not about what we lost. I don't think you heard what I just said. Being passionate is about what we have. If you have a relationship with God today, I don't care who's up here preaching or not preaching, we need to be excited because it is God who lives in us. And we have our names written in the book of life. That's where passion comes from. Even when we don't feel like it emotionally, when we don't feel like dying to ourselves, we need passion to drive us forward to obedience. Passion must drive us forward to be obedient to God. Look over in Matthew 26. You know, I love it when God does his thing all the time, but I love it when God just like clicks things together. Todd read this in the communion message, and then Todd also spoke about a point in our teen class that I was going to hit on today. So I love it when the Spirit works together. But in Matthew 26, Jesus is going to show us that even though emotions are not might not be right where we want them, we still need to be obedient. Then Jesus said with his went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." You know, we see Jesus here, and emotionally, he doesn't look like he's feeling it at the moment. Amen? Can you relate? Has God ever put you in a situation where maybe emotionally you weren't being tickled? Where it was like, "I'm not feeling this, God. I don't know if I want to do this." Well, that's where you have to take the emotions out and put your passion for God in, and it will drive you towards obedience. He was willing to be submitted to his Father's will, even after he prayed it three times. He says, "God, really? No, really? Wait, hold up. Really?" Three times. "I don't want to do this." And God didn't just shoot him back up. And what could Jesus have done? He could have done a lot of things. The Bible says he had power, right? He was God. But he said, "Father, may your will be done." You know, when you're living in the kingdom of God, you're not worried about the American dream. You're worried about the dreams God has for you. And even when they hurt, you decide to be obedient passionately. Passion brings you through even when your emotions are not tickled, when you're not feeling it. Your dreams must motivate you towards obedience. We allow emotions to run our lives too much. Living off feelings is not practical. I have been learning that for the last 40, Tuesday will be 42 years. I like living on emotions. They feel good. Even when they feel bad, they feel good because I know I'll feel good again. It's like a drug. But living by emotions is not practical. You might feel like going to work today, and tomorrow you might not feel like going to work. Your job might feel like firing you today, and they will. Keep on missing work like that. Based on your feelings, we can do some crazy stuff, right? Based on your feelings, you could turn around to your wife and say, "But and you'll be paying for that for the rest of your life. And the brothers say, "Amen." Johann Wolfgang von Goethe said, "Do not give in too much to feelings. An overly sensitive heart is an unhappy possession on this shaky earth." Wow is for real. When we give in to our emotions too much, we will feel every tremor this earth will give. When you're living in the kingdom of God, God himself will protect you during the times that are rough. We can say we've been through some hard times. Every single one of us here have been through something. How do you come out on the other side? My third and final point is pursue true treasures. I'll say it again. Pursue true treasures. Matthew 6, 19. Matthew 6, 19. That do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I think this is very clear. If you are choosing the American dream over the kingdom of God, are you truly a disciple of Jesus Christ? And like I said, it's not always black and white. There might be circumstances in your life right now where you might have had to take a second, third job to get you through a situation. Does that mean you're not a disciple? No. It means it's a part of your life, a temporary time. He's talking all about the heart. He says, where your treasure is, your heart will be. I look at my cars, because they're old, but I look at my cars as their vehicles to get me from A to B. I don't sit there spit polishing them. I don't idolize them. My home, I have a nice home. I don't care about my, I mean, I care about it, I appreciate it, but I don't look at it like, oh, look at my house and look at yours. Look at, I'm the Joneses. I'm not the Joneses. Some of you guys have beautiful homes, and God bless you. God bless you. Some of you don't have homes yet, and that's your goal. There's nothing wrong with that. But are you giving up your relationship with God to achieve your goals? You know, verse 19, Jesus says, not to worry about treasures here on earth. You know, I believe we just came from a season, the holiday season, where, you know, Christmas is all about stuff, getting stuff, stuff, stuff. Where's half that stuff today? It's funny, in the movie The Grinch, he said, you know, right after Christmas, I could hang myself on all your Christmas neckties that I find in the dump. All your stuff winds up to me in the dump. Can't that be said about us as well? All the new stuff that we just had to have, after we play with it for a couple of weeks, it gets tossed on the side and put in storage because it's not that big of a deal. And the truth is, it's not. God is not worried about stuff. He's worried about us and a relationship with him. So are you worried about the kingdom of God and the dreams, or are you worried about getting stuff? Verse 20, he teaches us to store our treasures in heaven. And verse 21, I believe, is the key. Verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is the heart of the American dream? Self. What is the heart of the kingdom of God? God. Again, I am not putting down getting stuff. I'm not putting down any of that, those things. What I'm trying to lift up is our relationship with God. It's not just about us. It's about our children and for all those that are out there who God is calling. In our pursuit of stuff, are we limiting our time to be able to be evangelistic in Gwinnett County? You know, this year, as we learn and grow about our understanding of the kingdom of God, I think we need to learn and focus our dreams. You know, dreaming is great. George Carlin said about the American dream, he goes, well, you have to be asleep to actually achieve it because it's the American dream. You get it? It took a minute, right? He said, you got to be asleep to get it. The kingdom of God, the dreams, we are fully awake. This is a dream. For us to be interracially unified in Atlanta? Come on. Martin Luther King Day is tomorrow. We need to be celebrating. We need to be excited about what God does in the kingdom of God. All nations. In order to do this, we need to pick the right dream, passionately live that dream out, and pursue true treasures. If we do that, many people will be added to the kingdom of God. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much just for your amazing grace. We thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your passion. We truly serve an amazing God. And as John preached this morning, Lord, I pray that his message truly rekindles a fire inside of our hearts. Help us, God, to really pick the right dream, to get back, God, to our purpose, our calling as disciples of Jesus Christ. God, to really make sure that we are doing your will here on earth so that your kingdom, God, will truly shine. As we leave today, God, we ask that your Holy Spirit just be with us. Please protect us, God, as we go back to our homes, God. Help us, God, to be focused on you. Help us to have a great week, God. Help us to put things in perspective and recognize, God, that we are truly that city upon a hill, that shining light. And that, God, we, again, just have a great opportunity for you to use us in a great way to bring as many people as possible to you. We thank you so very much. We love you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed.